Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Low Seeders, for the 5th of October, 2021. I'm joined by Leo.
Woo!
And today we're going to be talking about the great Facebook outage, the fuel crisis, and also harassing women to own the right, which is a hell of a tactic, but one that I don't think is going to pay off for them. Anyway, some things to mention first on the website. So we have a new article from Bo. So this is looking beyond Greta. So looking beyond her specifically, because of course she is a bit absurdist, and the people behind her. One of the things I like that you mentioned here that was interesting is that the handlers of her and herself, let's say, don't seem to care how much she's obviously dislikable.
Or how malnourished she is. I mean, I've got to ask, have her handlers put her on puberty blockers or something? Because she turned 18.
I assume it's a vegan, like, eco-friendly diet or some crap like that.
Well, she's not a very good advert for it. She still looks about sort of 12 years old.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess if you're going for the youthful looks or the malnourished looks.
Whereas I eat lots of meat, and I look old as anything.
Right.
It's great.
Anyway, so let's go to the next one. So we have the premiums. This is the epochs that Carl and Beau did about the English versus the French. I believe that's in the Hundred Years' War, which is great. And then the next one being the protesting does not achieve anything by Josh, which also has the audio track for Silver and Gold Tears. And the last thing to mention, which I wanted to add, was the Labour conference abridged day 4. Because I managed to get this done as well. And as you can see, this one was rather long. 20 minutes of just pure leftist nonsense. And I hope people go and enjoy it because it was a hell of a lot of work and my brain hurts. And day 5 will probably be out tomorrow or something. I've done it, but it's just kind of sat there. I need to figure out what to do with it. But other than that, let's get into the news. So start off with the great Facebook outage.
Yeah.
So Facebook was down for a bit. Yeah. And that's basically like the entire news yesterday was everyone on Getter, Gab, Twitter, amazingly.
Twitter was still working, yeah.
People having a chat.
Annoyingly, also spread to BT, Sky, and EE. I'm with EE, so I couldn't. I'd work to do, and I couldn't. I nearly rattled my laptop through the window.
Sorry, like your whole laptop just stopped working.
Yeah, so I couldn't connect to the internet to do my work. So I was getting so frustrated because I didn't
imagine.
Know nobody told me that we'd been hacked by Russia, which is obviously what happened, and so I didn't know. I just thought EE was being rubbish, and it was insanely frustrating. You know, the one time you actually sit down and actually want to do some work, and then you can't do it.
Yeah. What's the point in life? Anyway, so getting into this. So there's some other stuff around this that's of interest. So first thing being this Mail article in which they talk about Facebook. Facebook is a lie disseminating instrument of civilizational collapse. Steve Jobs's widow magazine accuses social media giant of being a hostile foreign power. Because this is somewhat of a narrative that's being talked about, which is that people in power want to treat Facebook as a hostile foreign power. That you should treat Amazon the same way or whatnot as well, something that's been said.
It's interesting, because I should imagine she's quite a... I should imagine she votes Democrat. I'm projecting a lot here, but I should imagine Steve Jobs' ex-wife is a Democrat. And to see Facebook, to see these tech titans that are run by just unaccountable billionaire oligarchs, to see them being criticised by both sides, by the right and the left, is quite interesting. Because obviously the... you know, Facebook and Twitter, they colluded to help Joe Biden get elected. They took Donald Trump down from all his social media platforms. The Taliban are still up.
The best example of that has to be the Hunter Biden story.
Yeah.
It was removed and then proven to be true anyway, and no one apologized.
Yeah.
Loads of people would have said this would change their vote, and it doesn't matter. Too late now.
It's happened so many times that, Facebook has, suppressed suppressed information as, false news, fake news, and then it's later turned out to be correct. Yeah. And even if it is false news, I think we can filter stuff. It's like in dictatorships where you've got the state propaganda. The only papers you get are the state propaganda. People read between the lines. They don't take it at face value because they know that it's like with a lot of the stuff that, bounces around social media about coronavirus or about politics or whatever, we know it's social media madness. So we filter it in our brains. We don't take it as absolute gospel truth.
It shouldn't be up to the dear leader, Mr. Zuck, to decide what you can read.
Yeah, believe anyway. It or not, we've got our own brains and our own autonomy.
So she, in this magazine, as my understanding, she's talking about the leaked Instagram papers. So we've got the next one. This is something that we spoke about. So Carl did this story called Social Media is Damaging Children. And this is just the leaked slides, which show that Facebook knew that their platform, specifically Instagram, was bad for children, specifically young girls, on a mental level. And they also are not meant to be pursuing customers over the age of 13, right, which is a weird cutoff, but whatever.
Under, you mean?
Over 13, they're meant to be pursuing. Under 13, they're not meant to be pursuing. And yet, in here, they spoke about how do we get more under 13s onto the site, even though they publicly say they shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like tobacco companies in the 60s.
Yeah, I saw someone interviewing Nick Clegg, and I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been CNN, actually, who said, it's like I'm interviewing someone from the tobacco industry. Yeah, now we should see him. Them and journalists. Anyway, so I want to give a shout-out to Dev, who sent me a bunch of messages about this story, so we're going to go into the stuff he sent me. So if we go to the next one, this is the other part of it, which is interesting. So this is the leaker. This is the lady who apparently leaked all those papers and then went public to interviews and so on and so forth. And you can see in here, Facebook whistleblower revealed in 60 Minutes says that the company prioritized profit over public good.
Yeah, which is what a company should do, to be fair.
That's actually a weirdly good sign in a disgusting way, is that Facebook, it still sees itself as primarily something to make money, not something for politics.
Yeah, it's when they start with the ideology. That's when I get worried, when they start making the world a better place. Anybody who ever tries to make the world a better place, unless you're just, you know, starting with the man in the mirror, as the late great Michael Jackson said, anybody who, like, you know, goes beyond themselves to try and change what other people do and how they live to make the world a better place, always seems to end terribly.
Best counterexample to would probably be Susan Wojcicki at YouTube. She is obsessed with trying to tell people what they should believe or should be interested in. Mm. And even her own software engineers say that it doesn't work.
Right.
She keeps promoting things to people and they keep telling her it doesn't work. And she just says, I don't care, keep doing it.
Well, it's like the state propaganda in those dictatorships. Like when we get those emails through from corporate, we just filter them out and we laugh about them down the pub.
Yeah. So Dev summarized some of this. So I'm going to go through his summarization because I think it's accurate. So Facebook is used by literally everybody to spread stuff that is factually inaccurate and provably so. Legitimate hate groups of all types thrive on Facebook while they make token efforts at banning people. And Facebook had a civic integrity team to help fortify the elections. Post-election, the team was dissolved and its work was going to be applied to the whole of Facebook. Facebook sold data that they explicitly said they would not. They sold everything to everybody. Lol, Dev writes. There was some speculation that Facebook's complete and total destruction today is them trying to cover all of this up. So that's some speculation. No idea if it's true. I don't know anything about this. On the back end stuff, there are going to be million people watching, you know better than me, with the back end stuff of how to run a website and all the rest of it.
Yeah, because one of my mates said it wasn't just like an outage. It was like parts of Facebook had gone.
Yeah, it's not there. Anyway, but if we go to the next one, we have the whistleblower, Jack Posobiec, pointing out that, biased, as you might expect. He says here, clearly a left-wing activist for government censorship, because she is very upset that Facebook encourages hate speech for profit. And the usual kind of narrative you get out of a leaker from Facebook who is of left-wing persuasion, which is that there's hate online. Shut the hate down.
Yeah.
And it's very pathetic.
They're not exactly representing what she actually said.
What do you mean?
Well, they're saying, she's a left-wing activist for government censorship, when in fact she's saying, you know, we do need some sort of oversight. I mean, Facebook is just dodging all of the sort of any accountability or oversight or any promises it made.
For hate speech online?
For everything. I mean, they're selling data that they said they wouldn't sell. They're breaking all their own rules.
Sure, but with the hate speech stuff, I'm in large disagreement with her, because we actually have some other things in this, which we're about to get into. But we've got to go to the next one. She gives a public statement saying she's there, she did all this to try and save Facebook, not to harm it. It's her opinion. That's that. But interesting thing on my mind is we actually did a couple of things with another Facebook whistleblower here who is called Ryan Hartwick, who he went to Project Veritas and released loads of information on the content moderation side. So if we go to the next one, this is just some interview I did with him back in the day. He's a good guy. And some of the examples he gives, so like Don Lemon's white males are terrorists statement was an example of something that was given a newsworthy exemption because it was newsworthy that he had said this. Therefore, that phrase cannot be banned from the Facebook moderation side. But yeah, there are plenty others that if a right-winger uses it, they would just banned outright and go to hell. He gives another example of snowflake is a banned insult.
So you can say white, all white people are terrorists, but you can't say...
You can talk about Don Lemon's phrase, and if you want to put it in a certain way that doesn't look like you're disavowing it, then that's a newsworthy exemption.
Right.
He gave another example, like calling someone an animal on Facebook, so calling someone a pig or whatever, is usually banned. And for example, they banned the term snowflake. According to him, this was the advice they were given by Facebook of words to ban. But Trump Hunter wasn't banned. Trump Humper. So Snowflake was, but Trump Humper not. Okay. Yeah. So we get to the next one as well. There's some other interesting stuff that he got from here. If you could scroll down, there's a whole bunch of lists they got. And one of the interesting things I found that you have people who are critical of Islam or, let's say, of the populist right or whatever. These people are alongside Adolf Hitler and Goebbels and Serbian war criminals as people that are banned. So if you can scroll up to like the middle photo or whatever, I think Gavin McGinnis is in there right alongside the American Nazi Party. Because those two were the same. And if you scroll up, there's, of course...
The guy who created Vice magazine.
Yeah, he's next to the Nazi party. And then you can see a bunch of Nazis there. And if you scroll up a little bit more, you can see... who is that? I'm trying to remember the guy in the middle. I can't remember. But I can remember, I can see Mr. Robinson there, for example, right next to actual neo-Nazis.
And Tommy, I mean, I can understand why, you know, people are scared of people like Tommy Robinson giving a sort of a voice to the disenfranchised young post-industrial white male. But Tommy Robinson, I've been like, I haven't spent a huge amount of time, but it's hard to find anything that he did that's catastrophically awful.
No, we're not going to go into it right now for him getting banned from Facebook either. But the factual information on that is that there's a guy called Mohammed Shafiq who went in at 12 p.m., had a word with Facebook. By 6 a.m., Robinson was banned from all social media. Mm. And Mohammed Shafiq said it was because he was encouraging terrorism. Facebook then said it was because he encouraged the beheading of Muslims, who then told the BBC and the BBC told the world. And no one has been caught on that lie, even though a year later Facebook admitted it doesn't exist.
Right, yeah.
But whatever, we're not going to get into that now.
Yeah,
but I have to show you all that list of data because it's unbelievable
sometimes.
But anyway, Ryan has made a press release and he sent it out this morning and I got it because I signed up to that. And I thought I'd just read some of his statements on this because he has an interesting perspective, of course, as a counter. So in an exclusive interview with CBS 60 Minutes, Francis Hogan, a former Facebook data scientist, discussed Facebook's mistake and blamed them for their inaction in preventing January 6th mass protests in Washington, D.C. 16 months ago, in June 2020, I went public as a whistleblower against Facebook, and since then I wrote a 300-page book detailing the countless examples of their bias and gross misconduct. So if we go to the next one here, this is Ryan's book, if you're wanting to read it. And again, this is a guy who's calling BS on her idea that Facebook doesn't take the hate speech stuff seriously. If we were to follow Francis Hogan's logic, then any group that organizes on Facebook shouldn't be allowed, because any mass protest could lead to violence, including Occupy Wall Street, Antifa, or BLM. If applied uniformly, Facebook then would have to prevent any kind of coordination of in-person events. If Facebook is responsible for the January 6th mass protests, then we might as well delete the internet, because Americans use the internet to organize peaceful protests, and they use the internet to organize BLM riots, and Antifa uses the internet to coordinate attacks against federal buildings. In fact, on November 3rd, 2017, Facebook specifically excluded Antifa as a hate organization, thus allowing them the ability to openly organize violent events on Facebook. And he was a guy in the know of this sort of thing. He's got all the documents. He showed us quite a lot of them. And the claims that Facebook is not serious about the hate speech stuff, they're way over the top. And that's Ryan's position, which is that, no, they censor a lot of stuff which is not accurately described as any incitement to violence or even hatred, really. And I agree with him on that.
Yeah, so we're seeing two-tier policing on the streets and then two-tier moderation on the internet.
But anyway, this is the surrounding stuff. That there was a whistleblower. She leaked some stuff. She blames that Facebook is bad. And you can see the difference there between how they're treated. Like, she was taken on CNN. She was taken to Congress. I think Nancy Pelosi had a word with her, all this stuff. And she's paraded around as like, oh, look, Facebook is bad, and all the corporate press. And Ryan had to go to Project Veritas and was not given the same kind of advantages that she was given.
Yeah.
Because she's calling for more censorship by the state against political enemies or the Democrats. Ryan was calling for open debate and free speech.
Mm.
He was like, I don't even care about the left's nonsense. Yeah. Just allow it.
But I think there is space for... as a right-wing person, I think... I'm not normally for government regulation, but I think in this case, because... Man, these tech oligarchs, they've got so much power and they're so unaccountable. And I don't trust them. I think open, transparent regulation, like we've got Ofcom for the media, I think that's necessary for these tech giants. And also people should have ownership over their data, and you should be allowed to choose what level of usage like social media companies have over your data, and you get paid a dividend. If you let them use all your data, then you know they're making all this money, they pay you a dividend. If you don't want them to use much data, then you know you don't get that dividend. But I think people should have that choice.
But I'm not necessarily against that at all. I mean, regulation of these companies, absolutely. I mean, yeah. I'm not an anarchist or anything. They like every other business do.
More red tape.
Not a necessary red tape. Anyway, so that's the surrounding stuff about the leak, and then Facebook went down, didn't it?
Yep.
Disappeared. So if we go through some of these.
It was great.
So it was a lovely evening. So someone posting here. Someone nuked the DNSA and AAA records for Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. It's over. Move on regardless. And you can see Facebook.com is up for sale. Apparently you could buy Facebook.com if you felt like it. We go to the next one. There's more of this. So someone deleted large sections of the routing. That doesn't mean Facebook is just down. It looks like that Facebook may be gone from some guy. Again, I don't know anything about the tech side of this because I didn't specialize in any of this. So I'm just showing what was said. If we go to the next one, we have someone saying the entire effing domain for Facebook no longer exists. Facebook.com, not there. Just gone. And if we carry on, apparently Facebook employees were locked out of the building. Facebook employees reportedly can't enter buildings to evaluate the internet outage because their door access badges aren't working. Because it's all on the same system. So if we carry on, we have Mark Zuckerberg, who lost $7 billion worth of net wealth within a few hours.
Nice.
Which, yeah, that stock went down. And then if we get the next one.
He always looks like he's actually a sort of, a character in a video game.
Yeah.
Like his hair doesn't look, it looks like just a sort of texture on a polygon.
It's almost like you hit random and you kind of got the boring guy.
Yeah, yeah. Just like a, what do they call it? Not an NFT. You know, there's players in games that don't do anything.
NPC.
NPC. Yeah. That's it, yeah.
So we get the next one. We have Twitter, who had some fun at this. Hello, literally everyone. And then interacting with people because their servers still worked. And of course, if we go to the next one, we have Gab, who had a huge explosion in traffic. And I presume Getter and whatnot all had the same situation because, well, no one's on Facebook no more. Anyway, so if we carry on, we have the response, which is apparently they sent some team out to try and fix it manually. It was that bad. And if we go to the next one, we have more reporting on this, that they said the stuff's starting to come back online, but will take a while for them to stabilize it. And then Facebook issued a public statement saying, yeah, we done goofed, sorry. And apparently it is starting to get back online, or at the time of recording is online. So our engineering teams have learnt that configuration changes on the backbone routers that coordinate network traffic between our data centers caused issues that interrupted the communication. Blah, 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 tech speak that I don't understand what any of these words means. But they say it was a faulty configuration change, whatever the hell that means. If we go to the next one, though, there was some other quite stunning accusations. So data of over 1.5 billion Facebook users is being sold in a popular hacking-related forum. Data contains users' names, emails, telephone numbers, locations, gender, and user IDs.
Wow. So they can actually misgender us?
Yes. You could buy 1.5 billion people's data if you feel like it, because apparently this just got leaked, or just they took it out, or what? I don't really know. If we go to the next one, apparently this might not be in relation to this downage, though, because Russia Today says it's alleged that the dump is said to have initially been posted 2 weeks ago, so may not
the
be.
Dump.
But I know a lot of people were conflating the two situations. If we go to the next one, we have Facebook returning and Mark Zuckerberg making a big apology. Just, we're back. We're online now. Sorry for the disruption, because... Yeah. Seems like Facebook's a bit insecure about the whole situation. Like, the fact that they just lost their entire service for quite some time.
Yeah.
And presumably a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah. And the way he says, like, I know how much you rely on our services to stay connected with the people you care about. Like, all right, Mark, you're not the AA. Like, get a grip.
But also, do you?
You're just a website. We look occasionally go on, get annoyed by people we know, and, like, look at... I follow some, like, gerbil groups and stuff, and some... groups that post stupid stuff that liberals have done. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not like, you know, I was perfectly fine without Facebook.
I got population density maps on there. jokes like that. It's just like, okay, I don't really care about Facebook that much, let's be honest. Anyway, so if we go to the next one, the leaker ended up releasing some more information about why they did this. And they said in here that she lost a friend over the situation. The friend didn't die, by the way. So it's just that they didn't become friends anymore.
Right.
And then that was what radicalized her into leaking this stuff. Okay. Some people have gone through worse things to do stuff, but I won't. So she says that their relationship deteriorated as he became obsessed with online forums.
He got a girlfriend. He obviously got a girlfriend.
I don't think he did.
Well, actually, yeah, he works for Facebook. He probably didn't.
Well, no, it was just a friend of hers who became obsessed with online forums touting conspiracy theories about dark forces manipulating politics. Quote from him. Quote from her. It was a really important relationship, and then I lost him, she told the Wall Street Journal. The former friend has since abandoned his conspiratorial beliefs, which dragged him towards the world of the occult and white nationalism.
Whatever. Well, so she goes around to see him one day and there's like a pentagram on the ground, like lots of candles, and he's like sacrificing a goat.
There's just music playing and he's like, the white race.
I mean, those conspiratorial beliefs, they didn't sound that conspiratorial. It was the sort of thing you'd read in a newspaper when it reports the things happening.
There's a shadowy force of people controlling the world. Like,
there is.
Billionaires like Mark Zuckerberg, yeah. Perhaps.
Yeah, it's not like hidden.
Yeah, weird, whatever. So if we go to the next one, we have Elizabeth Warren, who also was very much interested in this, tweeting out we should break up big tech whilst this was taking place, because, of course. And this is the weird difference. So you always hear Republicans moaning about being censored.
Yeah.
And yet you always hear Democrats talking about breaking them up.
Yeah.
It's like, well, which one are you more scared of if you're Mark Zuckerberg? Let's be honest. Like, you're scared about the people breaking you up. Although there is, of course, the more political point in all of this as well, which is that the world of Facebook is dominated by the right. And a lot of people have noticed this on the left, and they're very mad.
What do you mean the world of Facebook is dominated by the right? Because, see, every time I go on it, it seems very left.
Well, just in the numbers. So the kind of things people are watching overall, apparently, are
really?
Ben Shapiro compilations.
Right.
So, so if we go to this one, we have Facebook's outage shows we need a new antitrust action. So this is Vice getting mad and saying that we should do this. But never Twitter, because they're always concerned about Facebook. So we go to the next one. We have Vox.com, a leftist outlet. Right-wing media thrives on Facebook. Whether it rules is more complicated. And you got pictures of Ben Shapiro saying things that are sensible.
Yeah.
And that's the badness. That's the bad thing of Facebook. Yeah. If we go to the next one, there's other articles of people finding this. Conservative outlets regularly have the top performing posts on Facebook, but Facebook says the full picture is more complicated. Is it though, when all the top posts are SJW cringe compilations or Ben Shapiro destroys liberal with facts and logic? I think people are watching them because they're more interesting.
Yeah, what can we say? Like, the left can't meme.
Literally. And if we go to the last one, we have another person pointing out why the right has a massive advantage on Facebook.
Because we're organized and we get stuff done.
And can meme. Can have
and
some,
can meme.
Can have some fun. Anyway. But that's the great Facebook outage there. And I don't think the outage itself had much of an impact. I guess it's back now. But the interesting thing I find around all of that is the fact that she was touted around and given a platform on CNN, senators, all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Whereas the kind of people who go to Project Veritas warning of censorship never do.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the thing that affected me more was WhatsApp going down, because that's actually a useful tool for messaging people. So, yeah, me and my mates were messaging each other using text messages like it was 1998.
Does your package still come with text messages?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. And also text messages they've updated them, so you can actually see when somebody's writing a text message. It comes up, the little three dots.
Seriously?
Like wibbly. Yeah. Maybe it's just Android. Maybe it's just on top. Cutting edge phones like this. I don't know what you're using.
Not sponsored by Android.
No. But yeah. So yeah, my segment this week is about the fuel crisis, which affected me because I had to drive to Swindon. I live in Chesham, which is, I like to think of it as part of London.
My condolences.
Not quite. Chesham is amazing.
No, to getting to Swindon.
Oh, getting to Swindon, yeah. Well, I had enough petrol to get here. At least I thought I did. Then I started driving. Chesham's all like windy roads and hills and stuff. So by the time I got out of the like valley, I was down to like, 25 miles left. Yeah. So yeah.
It's the getting out of Swindon that's
and
hard.
Everywhere I stopped, like, because I was looking for petrol stations and they all had either no fuel or massive queues. So yeah, this has been going on. I thought I was being smart. I didn't panic and buy lots of petrol at the start and fill the bath like so many people did. But it turns out they were the smart ones and now I don't have any petrol. And then I just had to pay £1.56 for petrol. For each litre, and I put in lots of litres of petrol
from
at service day. Oh man, I'm not I'm not ready to talk about it. But no, I am going to talk about it. So we've had, there's been fist fights at petrol pumps. So if we play this, it's only the first, I mean, we say fist fights. And this is what's happened because the government's locked up all our best hooligans. Like there's that big movement to get all the hooligans out of football and they weren't training each other. And now we've got these handbag swingers. Look at them going out, oh my God. Oh. Slaps at dawn.
It's very British.
So, yeah, we can stop that. That's
national embarrassment.
Yeah, we've run out of fighting footage there. That's disgraceful. Like that's like 25 seconds of fighting footage, and you'd think Britain would be able to manage more than that. But yeah, so it's really affecting the UK, especially in the southeast, which is where I live. Scotland, loads of petrol. Doesn't need it. Nobody needs to get anywhere. In Scotland, but London, it's terrible. Antifa are having to switch to electric-powered Molotov cocktails, so they're getting with the program. Service stations are gouging desperate motorists. So this is in. I've actually stayed. That's a hotel above it called Chelsea Cloisters. I've stayed there quite a few times. But this is right in the heart of Chelsea, and they were charging £2.68 per litre. That's nearly twice the national average of £1.36, although it's still substantially under the average London price for a pint of lager, which is about £37 a litre. And it's gone up since lockdown ended, I noticed.
Converting that for the Yankees, so apparently that's $12 per gallon.
Oh, yeah, and in America, like home of the brave, land of the free, man, petrol there is so cheap. I remember when I was in America, I was driving a 5-litre Thunderbird. And I swear it was cheaper to run than like, you know, a 1.2 litre Nissan Micra or whatever I was driving back in the UK. And it was amazing. It was so big. It was huge. It was like taxiing like a Boeing 747.
They got those big cup holders.
Yeah, you know,
American
yeah.
drinks in.
Yeah. And it was, because I was too young. I was only 19. So I couldn't drive the hire cars. So we bought this. There was a couple of us that were under the age for driving hire cars. So we bought this thing, but it was a total heap. We got it for like $400 or something. And the air conditioning like just spat this sort of green jelly. It must have been the fluid or something from the unit. It spat it onto the windscreen. It was hilarious. But that thing was amazing, man. Like America, and man, the portion sizes, everything was so big and so cheap. Like driving around, I know it's in Australia as well. What they do in like the new world, like Australia, America, wonderful places like that, is they build parking spaces and roads bigger than the cars. Whereas in London, you're always like driving down, you know, in the UK, you're driving down some little drover's path that's just for one goat. And yeah, it's horrible. It's like threading a needle. And yeah, the petrol stations, the ones near me, they're still open, but they've got no petrol. So you get your hopes up, you drive there. And then they're like, no, no petrol. It's like, well, why are you opening it?
We sell Twixes.
Yeah, what? Who's going to the petrol station for, I really love the sandwiches they do at Texaco. You know what I mean? Like somebody, I know I could watch pornography on my laptop for free, but I'd way rather have the social awkwardness of going to a petrol station and getting a copy of Razzle, which we actually have. We have a copy. There's Kate Bush, one of our first modelling jobs. It's not really Kate Bush. Kate Bush would be a good name for it.
What year
for
is 70s. This?
Well, it's obviously not last year. Volume 1, number 3. So, yeah, this must be like, what, the 70s or something, okay. Judging by the hair. So this was 50p was a lot of money in those days, probably. People used to pay a lot of money for pornography. People still do. Little bit of information about porn there. But yeah, I remember like growing up, porn was like a real. There's a scarcity of porn, and like they even sold pub snacks on, you know, bits of card with like a topless woman on it. So like over the weeks as the scampi fries were bought, it would slowly reveal the naked woman, like a sort of rudimentary form of internet downloading.
What?
Yeah, I'm serious.
So you'd have like a row of snacks, and right at the end, there'd be it off.
No, so like basically like this, like the woman like but topless. On the whole card, so the card's covered in these scampi fries.
Oh, right, okay.
And then, like, you know, and you've got to just pray when you buy the scampi fries that it comes off the tit instead of the elbow.
God, the past is a weird place.
It is a strange place. But now boom. Porn, now like, porn's everywhere. Now you're watching porn right now.
I mean, it's like, you, actually, so...
yeah. Well, we're watching an old cover of Razzle. But porn's everywhere, and it's having a huge impact on the younger generation. Like, young women are feeling like they feel compelled to have sex with more men. older men do things that they're not entirely comfortable with. There's probably some downsides as well.
Wasn't this segment on the fuel crisis?
Yeah, this is on the fuel crisis. I digressed. You buy porn at petrol stations. Or you certainly, traditionally, that's been a source of pornography. Now we've got the internet. Well, when it works, we've got the internet. Actually, I was performing in Melbourne. And right across from a hotel, they had a porn theatre. And it's like, what a porn theatre. Like, a theatre, like it's the 70s. Like, we don't have the internet.
What, was that a real thing?
Yeah.
You'd go out with your girlfriend and sit
I don't know if
you
go with your girlfriend, well, take the kids and everything. Like, you just like go on your own and like
whack off. Surely.
That's what?
What, 20 guys in a theatre jacking off is weirder than taking the girlfriend?
Yeah, it's quite weird. Yeah, you're going to take... Man, have you ever been in a porn theatre?
No.
Well, have you ever been in a sex shop that's got those little booths?
Little booths?
Have you ever? maybe we should just talk about the fuel crisis.
booth, what are you?
So then...
let's get back to the
fuel. Yeah.
Just leave that there.
So obviously Extinction Rebellion and Insulate Britain are delighted about this. Here's Insulate Britain, by the way, blocking a road. They actually blocked an ambulance. They blocked an ambulance.
For foreigners who might not know, these guys have been going out for weeks now and just blocking motorways.
Yeah.
Because they're pricks. And this one, they had an ambulance in the queue.
Yeah. And they were told that there's an ambulance, that it's somebody who urgently needs to get to hospital, and they still blocked the road. Absolute scumbags. And also, The irony is, they could, Extinction Rebellion, Insulate Britain, could completely reduce their own carbon footprint by 100% by killing themselves. Just like, just walking at the Thames with some rocks in your pocket, don't come out, make Britain a better place. So yeah, absolutely disgusting. One of them was on talk radio saying it was justified. I love this. I love this guy just dragging him like he's a sack of potatoes. Like no like care or anything, just dragging him. Like
yeah. I mean, the police have the powers to do this now.
Yeah,
and if they're not going to do it, then I wouldn't be surprised.
They don't want to break a fingernail. And the irony is, petrol is the ultimate recycling. Oh yeah, by the way, so on talk radio, one of the Insulate Britain guys, who incidentally doesn't have insulation in his own house, is always something for other people to do with the left. You know what I mean? Tax other people. Other people should do this. It's never something you do yourself. But he was on talk radio, and he compared what they're doing to Nazis, like soldiers dying fighting the Nazis. He said it was worth. Is worth the person, people in the ambulances to die.
I saw him on Good Morning Britain. He was screaming that he's basically Winston Churchill and then stormed off.
Oh my God.
And even the people who run Good Morning Britain were like, what the hell was that?
Yeah. They owe me 150 quid, by the way.
Okay, another reason to hate them.
Huh?
Another reason to hate them.
Good Morning Britain, not Insulate Britain.
Send them a bill too.
I don't think Insulate Britain have got 150 quid.
Yeah.
But yeah, petrol is the ultimate in recycling. So this is a bit of information about how petrol is made. So basically plankton and stuff like that, it dies, it falls to the seabed, then it gets covered up by sediment, and over time and pressure, it turns into, because it's anaerobic, so you know, it doesn't get oxidized. So all the sort of hydrogen and carbon in it doesn't get oxidized, so still stays as fuel, and it gets under pressure. It turns into oil, which is basically polluting the ground. It's like an oil spill. So it's polluting the under the earth.
Yeah, we're just cleaning up the oil spill.
So yeah, then environmentally friendly oil companies come along and they put in these rigs to extract the oil, to clean up the ground, to clean up the oil spill.
Good guys.
And they store it safely, they transport it safely 100% of the time, and they take it and they refine it to make it even cleaner. Great, just great guy. And they're doing this, nobody's paying them to do this. It's not a government initiative like Esso, Exxon, like BP, who I've got shares in. Just doing it out of the goodness of their heart and to make money. And they refine it, and then it's distributed to motorists who then burn it in their engines, so it's disposed
Bastards.
Of cleanly. No, it's a very clean, efficient way. There's no, you know...
No, I love the idea that like the oil companies have done all this work to make it all clean, and then people are just burning it.
They pay them. They pay the oil companies for the petrol.
For that privilege.
Yeah. So it's a great system. It just shows capitalism solving a problem of underground oil spills. And should be encouraged. And yeah, and it's recyclable. So you just wait another, what, 150 million years and you got more petrol.
No problem.
You just got to wait for those organisms to die and get covered up by sediment. So yeah, like at the moment, because this petrol crisis has been going on for, is it over a week now?
Something like that,
yeah, it's quite a long time. It's hard to tell. So the government wants to fix it. So they're talking about calling in the army to deliver petrol. I mean, you never know what each day in the army's going to bring. Like, one day you're fighting bloodthirsty jihadists in Syria. The next moment you're messing up the Taliban and disrupting Scotland's heroin supply. And then the next moment you're basically Deliveroo taking diesel to school mum runs. So they can get their screaming brats to school. They should walk. We walked whenever I grew up, let's say '90s. But I think, you know, just like the Facebook outage, this could have been engineered by Russia or China, so they can invade. Because if all the soldiers are driving trucks, these are petrol tankers as well. Remember, you must have seen some '80s movies. So if we go on, yeah, look at this. So this is petrol tankers. Just one bullet on a petrol tanker. Watch this. We'll get an advert for yogurt now. Oh no! So look, boof. That's how petrol tankers go up. You know what I mean? So you can walk out of it if you've got like a robot, like endoskeleton or whatever it's called. But we don't. We just die. So yeah, basically petrol tankers, hugely explosive. I just don't think the army, like sitting in these highly explosive things without their guns, without their rocket launchers, China could just walk across the channel on those floating bridges that they've got. The government's also talking about getting prisoners in to drive the trucks, which just seems like it's a petrol tanker. You know what I mean? You're going to get these crazed, bloodthirsty prisoners.
I think we have like 3,000 jihadists in prison as well.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I want to give them anything.
Some woke, wet lefty is like, oh no, he's a reformed character. Then you stick this guy in a petrol tanker? Jesus, that's terrible. Why don't I just set fire to myself right now?
I mean, Ajim Chowdhury is out on bail, so he can...
Is he out on bail
now? He's out on release, I think. He's really released now.
Right. Rehabilitated.
Yeah.
So everybody's been blaming Brexit for this. Everybody's been saying it's Brexit's fault because the HGV drivers, the tanker drivers, went back to Europe after Brexit. But in fact, the shortage of drivers is worldwide. It's certainly Europe-wide. Poland is down 123,000 drivers. So that's worse. I think the UK is down like 100,000. So Poland's got a bigger shortage than the UK. Germany has a shortage of 60,000 drivers. So the issue isn't Brexit. If anything, Brexit is actually helping the issue because... Because traditionally, the undercurrent... the undercutting of wages is caused by an extremely liberalised, you know, global labour market where people can come in and undercut local labour wages. That's made HGV driving a less attractive career prospect. So now that can't happen, the wages on offer for HGV driving are going up. So Brexit's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. And, you know, it means, like, long-term, this will hopefully be fixed. But there's other issues. So part of the problem that new drivers didn't enter the industry is because for the last few years, we've been told there's going to be self-driving cars within the next few years. So why would you pay and, you know, do all the HGV training and pay for the tests and everything? It's quite an arduous process if you're just going to be replaced by a robot. So where are these robot trucks? Here's one that Tesla made, the Cybertruck. If we scroll down, they designed it on a PlayStation 1. It's made out of 7 polygons. And
how many of these did they end up selling?
I don't think you can actually buy them. You can buy them, but yeah, you can't get them yet. They haven't. You know, it's like one of those things. You can give them the money; they'll accept the money, but you can't have the truck because they haven't made it yet. So where are Elon Musk's self-driving trucks? Turns out, like self-driving trucks is a more difficult thing to create than people originally thought. Elon got distracted by dating a pop star and building rockets, so he was married to Grimes, who is, if we scroll down, so she's some kind of pop star. I don't know. I like listening to Led Zeppelin. I don't want to listen to like robot women. But so they've broken up now. And Grimes now says she's starting a lesbian space colony on Jupiter's moons. So I don't know if that means she's a lesbian now. Everybody, you know, seems to do that. She was actually, she was photographed reading the Communist Manifesto. If we scroll down. So she's reading Karl Marx's Communist Manifesto. I wonder if she's got to the bit in the book where she's executed and all her alimony wealth that she was given by Elon Musk is redistributed to party apparatchiks. And yeah, we've got the rocket that Elon Musk built as well. I mean, building rockets does look like more fun than... I'd probably focus on the rockets first instead of the trucks. So the next tab is the rocket. There it is. Look at it. It looks like a proper rocket. It's all shiny. It's got a 50s aesthetic. You know, it's shiny. It's got fins. That sort of, you know, brushed aluminium look. I love it. Whereas the next thing is Jeff Bezos. You know, that Amazon gimp guy? I mean, he's rich, but his rocket looks like a dick. It's even called Blue Origin, which sounds like some sort of knockoff Viagra. When you buy Viagra on Wish. So Jeff Bezos climbed into the urethra of his massive rocket and blasted off to, I think he went about as high as like 12 stories up. I think that's the maximum right there. That was taken at its peak. Because he got criticized by Elon Musk for not actually going into space. He just went up. Just went up a bit. It's like, you got to actually go into space, Jeff. You know what I mean? It's like when your Amazon delivery doesn't make it to your house. It's like the house down the street, and it's like, come on. You've got to break through that stratosphere. There it is.
I must admit, everything Musk makes seems to look like it was made by a toddler. I mean, you're saying with both of the spacecraft and the truck.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of like the aesthetic. Don't get me wrong. But...
Yeah, that truck. I mean, it's obviously like a concept vehicle because, I mean, it's just not street legal because it doesn't have wing mirrors. You got to have wing mirrors on a truck. That's just like that's a law thing, you know. And it doesn't have crumple zones. It doesn't have, you know.
Although I kind of like the idea of not having wing mirrors. It's very French.
Yeah.
Why would you need to go behind?
So the real cause of the shortage is also women. Oh, it's got cameras. So we've just had, the producers just informed us, it's got 360 degree cameras all around it, like one of those street view cars. So it doesn't need wing mirrors, I guess. But what if Facebook goes down and you can't see your wing mirrors? That's what I want to know. You know what I mean? Like, just keep it simple. Keep it simple. Like, wing mirrors, they're there. Doink. Look through it. Got a bit of refraction. But the real issue is women. Women aren't entering the HGV. They're not doing their bit. They're not stepping up to the mark. So while feminists have made huge strides in breaking the glass ceiling in industries such as public relations, which is basically just a glorified chat over a brunch, you know what I mean? I don't know how the economy works. I don't know how somebody who catches fish or, like, you know, toils in the soil with their hands makes like hardly any money, and somebody who just wafts around doing public relations makes loads of money. I don't understand how stuff works. But so feminism has made huge progress in breaking the glass ceiling in certain industries, but not in industries where you might break a nail. More than 99% of registered HGV drivers are, guess which gender?
Men.
Men. That's right. Who'd have thought? And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just don't think women can complain about the gender pay gap, which doesn't exist anyway, and then not get their hands dirty and step up to the mark when they're doing it. Especially when the country needs you. It's like wartime. You know what I mean? I had to go to a service station to get petrol. I had to pay £1.56 a litre. Like, the country is desperate. So, I mean, it's not an attractive job for women. Not really an attractive job for men either. You've got to sleep in your cab in a lay-by. You've got to piss in an old Lucozade bottle when you're driving along, which is more difficult when you're a woman. But I think women really need to, you know, step up to the mark, break that glass windscreen and get in that truck driving seat. And yeah, I mean, the real cause of, or part of the cause, apart from just terrible incompetent governance, is that people panic bought lots of petrol. People were filling up all these, like, you know, bottles and billy cans and all that sort of stuff, whatever they're called. And yeah, it's just like last year when everybody panic bought toilet paper because for some reason they thought they were going to spend 2020 with coronavirus and with a claggy arse crack. And it meant that I had to wipe my arse in the Guardian for most of April and got myself a staple once. And like you can see, man, it's come right down. The amount of toilet paper people buy is actually, you know, fallen below you know, the normal levels. Oh, it hasn't gone below the normal levels on that. It has on other charts that I haven't shown you. So people think that petrol's running out, so they rush out and they buy more than they normally would, which makes it run out. Which reminds me, tickets are running out for my solo show at Top Secret Comedy in London on October the 7th and October the 28th. There's no HGV drivers to deliver the tickets, so you've got to get online and book them now. It's free as well, but what I do is I ask for money at the end, and everybody's had such a great time. They give me loads of money. It's better than selling tickets. So yeah, that's in London, and basically, man, I just want the government. I just want a government. I would vote for the Labour Party at this point if they came out with a platform of basic competence. Like, I don't want any ideology. I don't care about cervixes, bodies with cervixes, or Brexit, or anything. I don't care about any of that stuff. I just want the basic infrastructure of the country to work, like, seamlessly and smoothly in the background so I can get on with my life. I don't want any imposition on my own life. I don't want to have to call anybody a certain pronoun. I don't want to have to, like, drive, like, miles out of my way to get petrol. I just want to be able to live my life, do my job, and make my money so that society can function. Like, that's all we want from government. Why the governments? Everything was working fine. Like, around about the end of the 90s, like the early 2000s, everything was working fine. Then the government's like, oh, no, we need to do that. No, you don't need to do anything. Just let us be. Just let us live our lives. They're always striving for utopia. You're never going to get utopia. We just want the utopia of our own personal freedom and existence. I can make my own utopia if you just leave me alone.
But comrade...
Anyway. Yeah. Oh, and this is all coming from the government's green policy as well, which has backfired spectacularly. So because of the high prices of gas, as well as, you know, the high prices of fuel oil and all the rest of it, CO2 production, which is vital for the food industry, not just for carbonating drinks, but also for preparing salads, so that keeps, you know, it stops the salad reacting or whatever, makes it last longer, basically. And it's also important in fertilizer production and all the rest of it. So CO2 production became completely financially unviable. So the government, I'm not joking, because of the government's green policy, which has caused this bottleneck in the supply of fuel, because of the green policy, the government has to subsidize fuel to produce carbon dioxide, which is a greenhouse gas. I can't think of anything more anti-green than using fossil fuel to create carbon dioxide. But to do it as part of a green policy, to do it because of your green policy, that's just, man, total clown world. Just stop trying to fix the world. It's fine. It's fine. Just no green policy. Just let us get on with it. Everything's going to be fine.
They really have no idea what the hell they're doing, do they?
Anyway, no.
Speaking of some people who have no idea what the hell they're doing, or if they do, they are the worst people on the planet. Harassing women to own the right. So, you know, right-wingers, they're the worst, so we're going to own them. What are we going to do? Facts and logic? Nah, harass women. And I'm not joking. So today, in Why the Left is Happy to be Evil, we harass women in the toilets, because yay, leftism. So here's Jack Posobiec tweeting out some footage of a Democratic congresswoman. So she went to the bathroom, and the protesters there, the screechers, walked in with her and continued to screech at her. And as you can see, he's labeling, they're screaming Biden's Build Back Better slogan. So let's play the first clip.
Within 6 months of not having the ability to make money, will you support the Build Back Better plan so that we can have justice and solutions that we need for immigration, labor, climate change?
Pass the bill.
Build Back Better, pass the bill. Build Back Better, pass the bill. Build Back Better, pass the bill. Build Back Better, pass the bill. Build Back Better, pass the bill. Build Back Better, pass the bill. Build Back Better, pass the bill. Build Back Better, pass the bill. Build Back Better, pass the bill. Build Back Better.
etc. That goes on for like 2 odd minutes or something. I clipped it down to that because I think everyone gets the point.
Yeah, yeah.
People are the bloody worst. Mm. And yeah, they are screaming Build Back Better, which is also Boris Johnson's slogan, which is the worst. Mm. But it weirdly reminded me of this Rooster Teeth episode. So some people are going to get this reference. There's Gus who walks into the bathroom and like some fan follows him in to get a photograph. Sorry, an autograph. And he's like, dude, I'm peeing. Leave me alone. But unironically, they decided that this Democratic congresswoman wasn't left enough for them. Therefore, they went in and harassed her in the bathroom. What the hell is wrong with you? I mean, and you would have thought there's a handful of people who are, you know, far left activists. We see this all the time. Let's say with them harassing the right. The fact they went into the bathroom is the thing that, especially for me, is far beyond the pale. To the point that any other day of the week, this lady, me and her probably wouldn't agree on anything. Hmm. I mean, Democratic congresswoman. No one in the Republican Party would probably agree on her, except Mitt Romney. But on this, I think like this is a perfect opportunity politically, but also morally, it is the right thing for literally every Republican to be like, no, we all stand with her. Yeah. To hell with you people.
And also, they were filming her.
Yes.
Which is...
In the bathroom.
I don't think that's good or healthy to be filming people in a bathroom.
But no boundaries for these people. But the best part is the left's response. We're going to go through this because they genuinely are just knowingly evil, I think. And this issue shows it. So here we have Jezebel, a feminist outlet, describes himself as feminist. Absolutely bully Christian cinema outside of her bathroom store. That's the headline from the feminist outlet. Bully this woman in the bathroom because feminism. Right, okay. So their description of the circumstances around this. Social justice organization Living United for Change in Arizona. I mean, again, just full stop. I mean, you know who you're dealing with. Uploaded a video of activists asking cinema to defend her opposition to President Biden's Build Back Better Act, an ambitious package which promises to provide additional COVID-19 relief, an extension of the child tax credit, and blah, 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 blah. Like, it doesn't matter if this is the bill to stop Australian police from murdering puppies. You still can't go into a woman's bathroom and harass some senator over the fact that they don't agree with you.
Yeah.
They're not voting for it. What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And this feminist outlet is like, yeah, no, bully her. Go on, keep going.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is nothing sacred about her 2 minutes of taking a pee.
Mm. The thing is, if they legitimize it for bullying her, then they're legitimizing it for, you know, the right to do it.
Yeah.
You know.
But that would be bullying and harassment. This, though. This is based according to the left. So they continue, this piece also, of S writer.
And also, that's not entirely correct. The Biden administration intends to pay for the multi-trillion dollar bill by making wealthy Americans and corporations pay higher taxes. No, they're printing money. Like 30 to 40% of all the dollars in existence were created in the last year.
I mean, they're literally printing trillions.
Yeah.
That's why you have Pelosi being like, yeah, of course, zero. No, it won't. Anyway, so Democrats at large support the bill, but two Senate Democrats in particular are busy holding up any significant advancements. Conservative Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Sinema of Arizona. And Sinema being a Democrat. Again, I can't get over the absurdity of this, of attacking your own senators to the point of chasing them into the bathroom because they dared to disagree with you. We shouldn't be surprised, but, you know, it's finally happened, let's say.
Yeah.
So, quotes from the people screaming. We knocked on the doors for you to get elected, says an activist named Blanca. And just how we got you elected, we can get you out of office if you don't support what you promised us. Blanca tells Cinema that she was brought to the United States as a child and that her parents were deported in 2010. Her grandfather recently died in Mexico, but Blanca couldn't go to her funeral due to her immigration status. I don't care. Who gives a toss? Who gives the slightest bit of a crap about what this woman's problem is? I'm sorry if Cinema ran over her dog or something. You still don't go into a bathroom and start filming harassing someone in the goddamn bathroom. The hell's wrong with you? So apparently, the only thing not right was following Cinema into the bathroom, writes the author here. Yes.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? Anyway. She goes on to say, given the right-wing reactions to all this, one would think that an angry activist kicked open the bathroom door while Cinema was taking a massive dump. Instead, they just sort of stood around in a public space, politely, but firmly, demanding that Cinema to do the job they were elected to do. What? Sorry. Okay, so we've accepted that the stool itself, the place where you are taking that massive dump, as quoted, that's sacred. That's what they'll allow you. You're allowed that stool. And as soon as you step out of the stool to wash your hands...
That's a public space and you can be... Right.
The women's bathroom is a public space. Just not the stools.
Yeah.
So anyone can just wander in there, just protesting. Just talking to my elected representative, bro. Mm. What's your problem? I'm just taking out my phone and filming now.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with these people? I'm sorry, but like, I can't think of anything more ridiculous to write in response to something like this. And they stood by this. This article's still up. You can go read it yourself. Anyway, let's move on, because Kristen Sinema made a statement on this. So if we go to the next one, she says in here, "Yesterday, several individuals disrupted my class at Arizona State University." So they disrupted her class before coming to the bathroom to harass her more. After deceptively entering a locked, secured building, these individuals filmed and publicly posted videos of my students without her permission, including footage taken of both my students and I using the restroom, because these are normal people. She goes on to say that this is bad. I mean, no S. I don't know why you needed to write more than just the hell with these people on here. But she says in here, but she's met this group before. So the group of people who were saying they were campaigning for her, apparently, yes. Yes, they were. Mm. So you get what you deserve, lady. If you think these people are your comrades on that regard, you should never buddy up with such people. Anyway, so she says she's met the group before and she will continue to meet with those from diverse viewpoints. And, you know, a little bit of advice to her. Don't meet with these people ever again. The hell is wrong with you? These are not your friends. These are not people you should ever hang around with. And if you continue to hang around with them, what the hell do you think is going to happen in future? You're still going to have the sanctity of that stool, are you? No, it's not happening. Anyway, so if we move on, George Soros was funding this group, unironically, because everything in the West that's left is apparently funded by Soros.
Right.
I know it's a meme, but the meme keeps coming true as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this
But I mean, I should imagine he funded it not knowing that they were going to... They probably didn't have an explicit pledge to
we're
film
gonna harass,
in bathrooms.
Yeah, yeah. I presume not on the application for the yeah. lots of money they got.
Because I know George Soros, he gets a lot of you know, anger and conspiracy theories and stuff directed at him. But his life story is incredible. Like he was orphaned by the Holocaust or something, and came to the US and like with nothing, and like became this insanely powerful financier. Made all that money from what was it called, Black Wednesday or something?
The betting against Britain.
Yeah, yeah, betting yes. against Britain. Always a safe bet.
I don't know if you know his story about what he did during the Holocaust, but there's
wasn't he like 8 or something?
Yeah, but there's a horrible interview he gave in which he was happy to get stuff from Jews who were being deprived of their property because he just said he was Catholic and they never. I suspect them. Right. This episode isn't about Mr. Soros.
Yeah.
So anyway, so according to the Soros Open Society Foundation grant database, Soros gave at least $1.5 million to the Living United for Change in Arizona in 2019 and at least $250,000 in 2017 to become the group's biggest donor. I don't know who gets this amount of money. I mean, for what? I mean, yeah. literally just some losers who screech in women's bathrooms. And they're like millionaires.
We should set up a foundation.
Yeah, why not? I'll take some Soros money.
Yeah.
You're not getting it back. I don't know what he's the one. Anyway.
Well, no, they spend it on wages.
Yeah.
And we need some photocopiers.
Research like Joe Biden.
And yeah.
Did you know about his cancer research thing he did?
No.
He got like $10 million, spent 99% of it on wages for cancer research for kids. It was like 1%
right.
was spent on research.
Jeez.
Bastard.
Yeah.
Anyway, we did an episode about that a while ago. Anyway, right. So we get the next one. We have a lady from... I can't remember where she's from, actually, but she made the point here that you, of course, have a feminist outlet who's like, yes, bully her, but also at the same time, online harassment is becoming the norm for women.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I've got to say, if we go back, women love that shruggy shoulder emoji. If we close that thing there.
So you close
the things. Yeah. See the shruggy shoulder, and it does my nutting. Every single conversation with a woman in some sort of, you know, WhatsApp or whatever, the shruggy shoulder emoji.
Right. Well, ladies, don't send Leo the shruggy shoulder.
No more shruggy shoulder emoji.
Right. So we carry on. This, of course, didn't end in the bathroom or in the classroom there. They continued. So this seems to be an organized attempt to continuously
So this is them. They're still following her.
Yeah, yeah. So she got on a plane somewhere and some lady on the plane.
Wait until she went into the bathroom.
No. Thankfully, she didn't wait for the airplane bathroom, at least. She goes up to her in the seating. And this is less egregious, let's say, but she asks her the question. She's not engaging, and then just like
cleavage.
Continues to harass her for like 2 minutes, which just leave. The hell is wrong with you? But that's that. And as you can see, this verified check mark trying to pass it up as like a heroic act or something.
Oh, God.
If we go to the next one, this also continued when she landed. Some people were waiting for her to again continue to demand that she do the thing that they want, or they're going to harass her until her death, presumably.
I miss politicians who just turn around and lamp people. Like, remember John Prescott?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's the thing as well. Like, with these ones, I'm not too miffed because they're on the plane, it's like, well, I don't know what you're doing. But in public, you know, heckling politicians, shouting at them that they're bad is a very British tradition. I'm very much for it as a thing we should keep.
Yeah, but
the bathroom thing is another level.
That's
no,
a crime.
The hell is
it's
wrong
illegal.
With you? Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
For good reason. I mean, I do think on one level we've got to treat politicians better because it puts people off. It puts good candidates from going into politics.
Sure, but politics has always been a game of complete mud throwing.
It always will be.
I don't think there's any fixing that. But there are some lines to be drawn, and one of them is following them into the bathroom and shouting at them and filming them in the bathroom. The hell is wrong with you people?
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought we'd go through some verified checkmark Dem reactions because this is open and shut, surely. Anyone with any kind of level of civil society could admit that maybe the bathroom's off-limit for politics.
Yeah. Not George Takei. No bathroom's off-limits for George Takei.
No, he's not having this. So we can see his tweet in response to this.
He steals jokes.
Does he?
George Takei is a joke thief.
I don't know if that's the worst insult a comedian can give a comedian.
It is. I would rather perform on a bill with, pedophiles or magicians,
pedophiles or magicians.
Normally magicians are pedophiles.
But right.
I would rather perform with a magician than a joke thief.
That's what we're gonna.
Oh, look, where did it go? I don't know. Did you fucking hide it? Jesus Christ! I know it's a trick. Okay. What you spent ages practicing it? Oh, where did the coin go? Nobody cares. I know it's up your sleeve or up your ass or something. It's a stupid trick.
So the magician when you were young.
Practicing. Take a card. Nobody wants a card. Why would I want a card? Oh, you're gonna hide it somewhere in the deck? I know it's in the deck or it's up your sleeve or something. It doesn't matter. It's a card. Nobody wants it. It's not magic.
Back to the Democrats.
Okay.
Also known as magicians. So George Takei here saying the right is outraged that Christian cinema was followed into a bathroom by some protesters, as if that's all that took place here, and as if that's not a disgusting thing in and of itself, even if it was, but supports paying $10,000 bounties to those who spy and report on women seeking abortions. Got it. So,
yeah. I mean, George, two things can be bad.
I don't know what's wrong with you. Of course, there's a right-wing and left-wing perspective on what happened in Texas, which is that the right-wing believe that's you murdering a baby, therefore there's a bounty for reporting those who murder a baby.
Well, no, I think a sliver of the right believe that.
Sure,
I mean,
but even if you want to say that this is all bad, and you can say that, two things can be true, you deceitful bastard. I mean, I'm sorry, but just the idea of if they can do bad things, we can just follow women into the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And then we have the next one here, Occupy Democrats, verified checkmark. Breaking, Christian cinema just fled out of the back door of her secret fundraiser tonight with rich donors who are bribed her to oppose Biden's Build Back Better Act after they were spotted and confronted by angry protesters for betraying them for money. Retweet if you support the protesters.
Look.
I mean, again, we have the footage. Like, she's teaching some classroom or whatever, giving some speech. And then they go into the bathroom with her, filming, screaming at her, and then get her out of there. And you're like, yeah, retweet if you support the protesters. And I'm thinking in my mind, like, did Chaos tweet this or something? Mm. Like, I know Turning Point get a lot of memes made out of them for some of the things they tweet that become meme-worthy. But I think this has to be one for, like, Occupy Democrats. Just evil thing. Retweet if you support the evil thing.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you? Anyway, they continue and just below here.
And then they're really just ensuring that Kristen Cinema. It sounds like a sort of.
I've heard it pronounced both ways.
Yeah, it sounds like a world cinema season, an art theater. It's just going to ensure. It's going to make sure that she doesn't do what they want, because if she concedes and if she goes along with them, she's legitimizing their actions. So the tactics in this case are completely. Counterproductive.
I mean, no one who believes in civil society can agree to any of this. The left are saying they don't by agreeing to it. Anyway. So we continue. There's another quote below them. Below the Occupy Democrat one, there's another tweet from them. If you're a Democrat who supports the protesters who just made Christian cinema flee out the back door of her secret billionaire fundraising after spotting and confronting her, I don't even care if it was billionaires who were hanging out with her. Who matters? It's going into the bathroom, you freaks.
Democrats are always hanging around with billionaires.
Yeah,
Occupy Democrats are probably funded by billionaires. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
They're like, if you support these bathroom creeps and want the latest breaking news, please retweet and follow this account to be immediately notified when we tweet as well. I mean, this is what I mean. It's like chaos or something where it's just like, retweet if you support evil. Retweet if you support harassing women. Occupy Democrats.
I think the reason the Democrats hate her so much is because she sounds like Christian cinema. So they think it's a very worthy Christian cinema movement. Sounds like Christian cinema. That's a joke I just came up with in my head that wasn't put on the screen by the producer.
Oh, sorry, stealing jokes, are we?
I wasn't stealing.
Let's go to the next one here. So we have Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney, who was just like, yeah, harassment bad. Because the Stunning and Brave by Mitt Romney, okay. But, you know, the very basic, so at least, you know, actually getting points for that, because apparently the opposition can't be relied upon. And then we have a response. We go to the next one. Carl Kalinske responded to this. Is this inexcusable? Does she reflect poorly or count as abuse? And it's the Christian Cinema is got an article from Salon about her saying, Big Pharma medical firms donated $750,000 to Christian Cinema. She didn't oppose a drug bill. Who cares? I'm sorry,
so
yeah.
So she did what they wanted? It's not clear in that.
I'll just believe, for the sake of argument, steel man Carl Kalinske's position. She's a corrupt, evil politician who takes money and then does whatever the money tells her to do, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Isn't that what politicians are supposed to do?
No, but you can't follow someone into the bathroom because they're corrupt. Like, I'm sorry, it doesn't matter if she is taking $1 million to be like, yeah, tobacco's good for you, kids, take a smoke. Like, you still can't follow people into the bathroom and be like, yeah, I'm going to film you in here and shout at you about it.
Did something bad happen to you in a bathroom?
No, it's just the idea of someone following you in there. I mean, if that's not sacred, if you can't even go for a piss without being followed by left-wing activists, what is that?
Yeah.
I mean, like, your home, as if that's less sacred to them. Like, they don't give a toss about that. Anyway, so if we...
Maybe if people started urinating on left-wing activists in bathrooms...
Maybe that's the solution,
Just
bend over and piss on
them. I don't know if they'd notice the difference, to be honest. Hey-o!
Yeah. So we go to the next one. There's a couple more about these. This is one of these ladies we featured before. There are hundreds of thousands of individuals being forced into homelessness by our government who will never receive...
Oh, no, there aren't!
...the level of concern folks are giving to Christian cinema gasp. Listen to the constituent complaint for a minute while she pees.
In the next tweet, she's a perfect example of a violent, rich, white woman. Oh, all the bad things. She's rich, she's white. You know what I mean? Like,
she's standing in the way of relief for millions of women who need things like child tax credit and childcare.
Oh, do they need it? No, they need a job.
But when she's faced...
They need a job, and they need to keep their legs shut.
But when she's faced with a protester...
Am I right?
...in the restroom, she's the white damsel in distress. Yes, you freak.
Yeah, because that's situation.
What is wrong with you, woman?
Man, I hate how people are like, oh, these people need, like, you know, all the... No, man, no, there's not hundreds of millions of people being made homeless. Like,
bury all the rhetoric for a minute that they're going to inject into this conversation. The conversation fundamentally comes down to, should you follow your political opponents into the bathroom and harass them in there? The answer is no from everyone except the verified checkmark Democrats and their friends.
And who's this guy down here, Jay Parr? She wasn't peeing, she was hiding. So Jay thinks he should be allowed to go in.
I don't know. But let's go to the last one here, which is Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders has an opinion on this. Did he go with the reasonable one? No. Bernie Sanders on Christian Cinema. I think the people of Arizona are beginning to stand up and show more impatience there and saying, you know, Senator, join the team here. Let's get something done on reconciliation, which involves harassing women in the bathroom because leftism. I've got nothing to say on this. It should be evident. But people who unironically will support this position of harassing people while they pee, or after they've just peed, because remember, the stall is sacred, but the rest of the bathroom is a public space, are just evil. You are just an evil person, and you deserve to not be in polite politics.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Well done to Bernie Sanders for still being alive, though.
So one achievement. Anyway, that and getting three homes. Let's go to the next video comments.
Hey, guys. I had a thought for a new petition that maybe you might want to raise with the government, requiring them to debate using... the MPs' publicly funded second homes to test all future eco improvements. I think it would be impractical to do that, but I think the debate would be pretty interesting.
That's an interesting thing. I mean, obviously that would just mean the MPs would get lots of money to do up their second homes and add, you know, the latest sort of cutting edge green tech to them, which actually, you know, I don't think that's such a bad idea. I don't think they'd mind it so much.
They wouldn't, but they're going to corrupt the hell out of that. It's going to be solar panels everywhere, all the rest of it. Oh, the house price went up by £1 million. Well, sell this one, buy a new one.
Yeah, yeah, which is what I want them to do. I think MPs should be paid more. Sajid Javid
The bald man.
Yeah, the bald man. He took a 98% pay cut to become a politician. Everybody's, man, this is the thing, because now total scumbags, like, you know, total dolies, all the rest of it can afford Twitter because it's free. Twitter, you know, all this stuff, social media should cost like £100 a day to use. But because total scumbags can use it for free, they tweet that, like, you know, oh, MPs get paid so much, but I've got to survive with £48 a week because I can't be bothered getting a job. It's like, well, MPs have got like the most important job in the world, so they should get paid more. And also, you should.
There's
get
a lot
a job.
Of MPs that come to mind that made me doubt that comment.
I actually, funnily enough, when I was running, when I ran for election, because I said, I won't say who it was, but I said, because somebody. Wanted me to stand. I ended up standing for Reclaim Party, but somebody wanted me to stand for another party. I was on the phone to them, and I was like, "Yeah, but like, what if I win? Like, I don't really want to, you know, have to do much work or anything." He was like, "I mean, obviously, I've worked really hard just in case I run again in the future. I'd work really hard, but just in this particular instance, I was like, what if I win? Well, I have to work really hard." And he's like, "No, Leo, don't worry about that. Once you, the only work you do is getting elected. After that, you can just, you know."
There's so many Labour MPs in particular. I don't know so many Conservatives, but the Labour MPs. I mean, like Nadia Whittam comes to mind, who just took a break for what was it, like 3 months or something, because you got PTSD from getting emails. I was like, Are you taking the piss?
Man. Anyway. Oh, man. That's the sort of thing. You only get that in a country that allows you to get PTSD, to sick pay for PTSD from emails. Like, if you were in, you know, the developing world, nobody's taking 3 months off because they'll starve to death.
Anyway, in response to the petition idea, I did see a petition someone did, which was to get MPs to take the vaccine first. That petition was rejected on the basis that it would be illegal to single them out. So I imagine that would be the response to that petition as well.
Although, what's his name, did get his children to eat the burgers. Remember, it was mad cow disease time. That was the big threat to humanity.
Sorry, the politician responsible.
Yeah, for cows. Minister in charge of cows.
And he was like, yes, here's my child, see?
The portfolio of cows.
God, that's weird.
Yeah, he fed burgers to his kids.
All right, let's go to the next one.
Good afternoon, Lotus Eaters. My name is Jonathan Scarecrow, and I'm coming to you live from hell. On the news today, well, everything's on fire, as usual. And, eternal damnation's pretty bad. Pretty bad. So, how's your day, guy?
I assume this is a reference to October? The fact that it's not spooky season? I don't know what else, but okay. Enjoy hell. Let's go to the next one.
So an idea I came up with is, just for a joke, every single person here could rename themselves just for Halloween in the most edgy name possible. Now, I looked to the very depths, deepest parts of my imagination and came up with the best one possible, and it's absolutely terrible, but what I came up with is Simp Slayer. It's terrible, isn't it? But, you know, it's the best I came up with.
Okay, so is everyone doing this then? So everyone's coming up with different names for themselves for Halloween. All right, well, let's go to the next one.
On social media's effect on mental health, I'm with Callum. Back then, it did seem like a joke that you could be bullied online. I remember kids making fun of that movie depicting cyberbullying. However, it could be that Callum and I are just a different breed, having self-awareness. Socials just made me miserable, so I deleted them all. Another theory I have is that my upbringing just made me grow thicker skin. SFO's video on trigger warnings having the opposite effect made me realize that the anti-bullying movement probably did more harm to a generation than good. I had paper-thin skin as a kid, but I was bullied by my own friends, and my skin is much thicker partly because of it.
Hmm. That's a great point. They've eliminated bullying in schools over the last 20 years, and as a result, we've now got hipsters and simps and all these people. You know what I mean? Like, nobody. People used to, like, leave school age 14 just looking like Cary Grant, and now they don't.
The good old days.
The good old days!
Radio. It was in reference to me and Carl having a disagreement about whether or not social media is terrible for kids. But
I think bullying is part of...
Well, it was more about just online, so this idea that social media can cyberbully you, and this is a problem, and it's harming our children.
Mm.
And my position was just that I don't care about this, so I can't really sympathize with this at all. Because someone said something mean to you on social media, my response was just, I'm not dating them, so who cares? I don't even know who this person is.
Yeah. Yeah, it just gets funny after a while.
Yeah, if they're not your friend or someone your lover, it's just like, who cares? Yeah, let's get the next one.
Quite often, the people who consider themselves to be the most tolerant and woke and progressive and the ones that just wants to take it out.
I guess. If I was a sexier woman, I'd do the same thing.
There's a lot of skill involved in it. And if you look at the UN Charter of Human Rights, it doesn't say, oh, and by the way, I was being a dick.
That's obviously abuse.
Yeah, yeah. Am I the bad guy?
If I don't want whatever your thing is going into my body, I should have the right to refuse that.
Oh, you'll get, you know, a year's supply of Domino's pizza.
That's a good idea. I might try that myself, actually. Speak to you tomorrow, folks.
Well, we don't know the price. Minister for Based. Let's go to the next one.
Hello, Citizens, Edward Woodstock here with the Star Wars lore take. The occasion referred to by Callum is part of Operation Cinder, which is part of Chuck Wendig's Aftermath bollocks. It is basically a scorched earth tactics on a galactic scale. I dislike Wendig's work, partially as Wendig is a bad writer with an ANCOM hard-on, but also because his writing assumes most of the Empire are fanatics. I prefer the old canon where the Empire disintegrates into warlord states because, hey, if I was a Moff and the Empire fell, I'd be going Diadochi day one. I'm happy to go deeper into this if people are into it.
I kind of just want the explanation on how the hell scorched earth makes sense on a galactic scale in the Star Wars universe. Like, how does that make any sense? Like, in 40K it makes sense because Tyranids, but what? Like, the rebels are needing the biomatter now?
What are you nerds talking about?
Just nerd stuff. We'll get back to you and Carl's love story. I like the memes. Let's go to the next one.
So the Ontario Human Rights Commission has determined that people who can't get the COVID-19 vaccine for medical or disability-related reasons can be exempted from mandatory vaccine passports, provided they have a document to show it. If you choose not to get it for personal or religious reasons, tough luck for you, I guess. You can't come in.
I can't believe they're actually going through with that in Canada.
So, how do you get the exemption?
I suppose you wish upon a fairy.
So there's no way of getting any sort of exemption. I don't know. There always seems to be a way around these things.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it, I mean, I've
politicians' friends.
I haven't had the vaccine. I'm not like anti-vax or anything. I never got around to it. But I had coronavirus, which is the same thing.
Well, actually, you're better off than people who are vaccinated.
I didn't feel very better off when I had coronavirus.
But you're better off now. So. I got ill in April last year, but I never got it confirmed whether or not I had it, so it's kind of like, eh.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Yeah, it lasts for 6 months. You get the, and it means you can travel. I'm going to Ireland and Austria this week.
Oh, so. Because you've had it and you've had a positive test, so you've had it. Yeah. Oh, well, that's neat.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I don't know if it's worth infecting yourself with coronavirus to get around having the vaccine.
No, not advocating that as a solution to people's flight problems. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
Yeah, I'm getting a bonus. Well, lucky for me, I live in California, so it bumped me up a tax bracket or several. And I got taxed 41% on that.
Whoa.
And they're right. Girls don't like simps, at least any actual girl. I mean, maybe if they're just wanting money from you because they're e-whores, but if I wanted to date someone with a vagina, I'd date one with an actual one, not a figurative one. It's like men, I date men for masculinity. So my office just got approval to have a Halloween day the Friday before Halloween, and I was wondering if you guys are going to dress up for Halloween as well.
Yeah, it's interesting what she says about women not being... Because I saw a thing, my mate shared this thing, and it was about how... this whole sort of feminization of men and sort of simp culture and stuff, that's just women testing you. It's testing you to see if you're going to conform, because they don't want a man who's going to conform to it. They want a man who's going to have the resolve and the strength to stand up to it and still be a masculine man. And the reason they test you is to make sure, you know, so they want to have kids with a man who's going to have the resolve and the strength to raise those children properly. And, you know, provide for them and fight for them and, you know, be a protector as well as, you know, all the rest of it.
I believe it's called S testing.
So right.
You're S word testing the guy.
Right.
Halloween. Is this like a big thing in America? Because here we don't really...
Yeah, if you're a kid.
I'm not a child. So.
If you're a kid, you go geysing, which is...
Which is fun when you're a kid.
Trick or treating.
Yeah.
You go around, and you get like sweets and stuff. It's great. But you might go to a fancy dress party.
But do adult Americans do that? I don't know. It's, I, I haven't done anything Halloween-y since I was a kid.
A lot of people have been mentioning it to me this year, though. Because I booked in a gig on whenever it is, the 31st or whatever, and somebody was like, oh, that's Halloween. And it's like, well, yeah, but I'm not eight.
I'm not a pagan either. So. Yeah. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
Good evening, gentlemen. I am, as you might have noticed, a necromancer. Except instead of resurrecting your dead uncle, I resurrect dead memes. And so I have come up with a powerful and spicy new weapon in your war against the carboids. You see, people who drink sugary beverages, like soda, do not deserve respect. They in fact deserve to be called what they are, nectar drinkers and hummingbirds. Silly hummingbirds.
I mean, he's not wrong. I knew an American university. He was a great guy. Nothing really criticize him about except his consumption of Coca-Cola. He would drink, like, you know, those big Coca. That's all he would drink. He wouldn't drink water.
Man, that stuff's so bad for you. I mean, it's all right as a treat. You know what I mean? If it's Halloween, then have a can of Coke. But man, sugary drinks are so bad for you. Sugar is such a toxic. I mean, I know
he was super skinny as well, which is weird, but.
The American guy. Yeah. Well, yeah, that's probably because he was malnourished. Like, skinny doesn't always mean healthy. It can mean, like, malnourished. Because you're not absorbing. Because the amount of carbon, the CO2 and the stuff that actually, like, rots your bones and stuff, and it stops other vitamins and stuff being absorbed.
Yeah,
probably. I made that up. But, like, it does mess up your bones.
There was one other drink he used to drink. Have you ever had American lemonade?
Yeah.
Where it's, like, powder. And then you add tap water.
Oh, really?
It's horrible. I don't know how he drank this. I don't know how anyone in America drinks this, but he should give me like this powder. It's like pink as well.
Yeah.
You just add tap water and then it's like sugary water. It's like the worst thing on the planet.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. I'm lucky I live in Chesham where the water is delicious straight out of the tap.
Yeah, just drink the water.
Amazing.
Get rid of the crap. Let's go to the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan here with a political video about cops that you talked about yesterday. This is the libertarianinstitute.org. We libertarians talk a lot about the cops here. We think they have too much power, that the state generally has too much power. I think we ask them to solve too many problems, and because of that we have so many laws on the books. The cops are actually ineffective at their job. I think if we streamline the laws, streamline the cops, gave them less power, we wouldn't have so many problems.
That's probably true. I mean, America has this problem, I think, worse than we do with the amount of legislation surrounding these sort of things.
Yeah.
I can't really disagree. And
yeah.
I hope you and Jen are doing fine. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah, lads. So in regards to Sarah Everard's murder, she was arrested under the false pretense of breaking lockdown rules. I remember the awful confusion when lockdown was introduced regarding what you could and couldn't do. I can't help but feel that giving individual police officers the ability to stop people for seemingly no reason at all contributed to what happened. I understand he could have done it. Being a police officer didn't make him do it, but I can't help it just adds to that horrible legacy of lockdowns. Also, I'm not coping about my air gun. I don't know why you'd think that.
Was he talking about an air gun?
Him and me and everyone else in Britain is coping that we can't have a real gun and instead have air guns.
My dad had a gun that's so big.
You mentioned.
It's banned in America.
He doesn't have it anymore, though.
No.
Anyway, but the point about Sarah Everard and the that is the one aspect to her case that I think could be argued as political. The idea that he stopped her under COVID rules, and it wasn't just him that abused the COVID powers, of course.
Yeah.
There was a compilation we did when this started where the police went bloody nuts.
Yeah,
I don't know if you saw the one. There was a guy getting arrested for being in the park. So a journalist, masked up, started filming it, and they said over the van, like, Tannoy, go home, you can't stay here, and then arrested the journalist for filming.
Yeah.
And that was in Britain.
No, it's ridiculous. My mate got arrested walking his dog, and the rules were so complicated, and you know, nobody I think a bit of common sense. Another mate got arrested walking his dog and actually argued his way out of it and explained to the policeman that no, this is wrong because I couldn't take him to this park because it was too busy.
Yeah, you brainlet.
and I mean, the Sarah Everard thing, I mean, I think, you know, that guy was so sick and so broken as a person, whatever, he would have found another rule. So, yeah. I mean, I think it's difficult to talk about it. And I think somebody was criticised, Kirsty Allsopp was criticised for making a sort of political anti-lockdown point about it. But really, it's just, oh man, it's just so horrific.
It's the only thing in there that I can find that's fair as a criticism, but I don't really think is relevant. I mean, we mentioned yesterday there was a criticism of Well, there was an argument made that one of the things we can do is teach women their rights so they know when they're allowed to be arrested or not. Mm. And therefore, Sarah Everard could have challenged him or something. And it's just like, that wouldn't have changed it. If we didn't have the COVID rules, that wouldn't have changed it.
There's that policeman in Yorkshire saying, run away from the police and like flag down a bus.
Yeah, there's...
Like, do you know how many people... Like, running away from the police when they're arresting you is literally a crime.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just ridiculous. And like, running away from the police in handcuffs and flagging... What bus... Who's going to stop for somebody in handcuffs running away from the police?
I mean, the only solution I could possibly see to this that was proposed was trying to keep police always in teams of two or more,
yeah,
which is an idea, but then that isn't always going to be the case, and therefore there is no solution, really.
Yeah, I mean, plainclothes officers are always supposed to be in pairs.
Yeah, because they can try and keep each other accountable as
well.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned about the dog. There's a guy, there's a friend of ours called Bass Welshman. He went out with his dog, and he was in a park, and the police tried to arrest him, and there's some great footage of it, in which they're saying he's sunbathing. He just pans the camera down, and he's got, like, full trousers, you know, running shoes, a jumper all the way down. He's like, sunbathing my hands, what's wrong with you? Anyway, that's is that the end of the video comments? Yes, okay. We'll go to the written comments on the site instead. So, on the Facebook story, Student of History says, the great mental health cleanse. I'm sure everyone's mental health improved after half a day of no Facebook or Instagram.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe. I didn't notice it much, to be honest. Zero says, how embarrassing to have to announce your news on other social media sites. Yeah, I imagine that did sting, but... who cares for them? M1 Ping, quote, dark forces manipulating politics. Sounds like Facebook. Yes, it does. Anon Imi says, I don't trust the current American or UK government to bring in good regulation over Facebook. As you can see, they always ignore Twitter. Yes, that's a fair criticism, I think. Because they're always, you could say there's loads of things you could do with regulating them, but when it comes to a leftist space like Twitter is... not so much interest in regulating them.
Mm.
Like, you never see Nancy Pelosi. She always says, break up big tech or so on and so forth. She's always talking about Facebook.
Mm.
She's never talking about Twitter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think it's telling.
Anyway. Yeah.
Facebook
has got much, you know, far more users and far more reach than Twitter.
Sure, that's true. But Twitter is not some small site either.
No,
I think it's... YouTube claims about, I think it's 3 billion users daily, something like that.
Right.
Facebook has about 2 billion and Twitter has 330 million daily.
Right.
Those are rough numbers on the internet. You can Google
that. Man, YouTube's a boss.
Yeah, YouTube has almost like 50% of all online users in the world.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Which is why it's such a powerful institution.
And it's great and it's free.
They have their advantages, of course. They have their disadvantages as well.
Yeah.
The amount of people that I know of, or many people know of, are now just gone. And just not back.
Yeah, yeah.
No reasons given.
And it does, it stifles creativity. I mean, as a comedian, you're always sort of self-censoring, you know, depending on what's going to get you into trouble. So,
but this show.
Yeah, yeah, on the show, or, you know, when we did the Lotus Eaters Live, or, you know, the boundaries are in different places and stuff. But as a comedian, you want to, you know, push over those boundaries. And
you can't,
you
know, on YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube you can't. And there's certain topics you just can't talk about. So, you know, with working with Lawrence Fox and the Reclaim Party, the first video that he put up for Reclaim the Media, he agreed with the JCVI. So he agreed with the government's...
health advisors.
Immunology.
Our local health
vaccine
authority.
Yeah, advisors, who the government actually disagreed with. The government overrode their own health advisors to approve, you know, vaccinating school kids. So all Lawrence did was agree with the JCVI, and that was enough to get the video taken down from YouTube.
Which is also a breach of their own terms of service as written, you must agree with the local health authority. He did, but not the government. They chose the government over the health authority. Anyway, but getting to the question of the fuel crisis, these are for you. Cool. So Caffeinated Century Gnome says, in Australia, they are making truck drivers have COVID tests constantly. They don't like having their noses probed and it's making them quit. It's so bad that they are paying train drivers $90 a test so they don't quit.
Those nose tests, you know, the swabs that go up your nose, they go deep, man.
I've never done it.
I had one done. Normally, I've done it myself, so I don't push it up that deep. But I had one done in Dubai, and oh my God, she went into my brains. Like, apparently in China, they do anal swabs, and if they go as deep as the nose swabs do, like, that's pretty hot.
That's rape.
Yeah.
God, I saw a video of someone doing this to like a 1-year-old baby, like the test for COVID. I'm just like,
oh man,
there is something wrong with you at that point.
Yeah,
it doesn't even matter if a baby gets COVID.
Yeah. Children are unaffected, which is one of the chances of
death is very small.
One of the great tragedies of coronavirus is that it barely affects young people, who are the most annoying and, you know, traditionally get really affected by measles and all the rest of it. And I don't know, coronavirus came along. I like read the first, it kills fat people, it kills old people. I'm like, it's sent by God. It's sent by God.
But it keeps the teenagers.
So I can buy a house and find some parking.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So the next,
everybody always focuses on the downside.
Silver linings.
Silver linings.
JJHW says, Extinction Rebellion were arrested under the extensive terror laws when they blocked roads. The law has not changed, so the police have decided to engage in a criminal conspiracy with Insulate Britain.
That's good. And Insulate Britain are so unpopular. I mean, who'd have thought blocking ambulances as well as, like, you know, other road users would be unpopular? But there we go.
Yeah.
So I don't know why the police are colluding with them.
We saw the initial footage, the very first one. The police blocked the road to let them get out as well.
Yeah. Literally helped. I mean, I guess their excuse would be, oh, we're making sure it's happening safely. But man, I wouldn't.
What?
Yeah.
The happening safely is arresting them all and getting them off the motorway. Yeah. I bet they'll use that argument as well.
Yeah.
When the inquiry comes. Anyway, so on harassing women, which is...
You're optimistic if you think that there's going to be an inquiry.
Oh, yeah, I don't know why I'm even thinking about that. So Kevin Croft says, isn't this the same Arizona State Uni where two white lads were bullied out of the multicultural area by two black women last week? And I noticed that the answer there is yes, apparently.
It is, yeah. Arizona State Uni seems to be a hotbed of stuff.
The new Berkeley. Fantastic. Yeah. So North Antonio Knight says, once again, the left eats itself. Had the Dems forgotten when another group they unleashed attacked their own offices in Portland or Biden's inauguration day? Now the toilets are an unsafe place. Another day in clown world. Yeah. I love that in Portland. You really got what they deserve there, which is that they buddy-buddied with Antifa locally on a national level. Mm. And then the day after the election, the Antifa guys went down and just smashed up the Democrat office.
Really?
Go to hell. I have no sympathy for those people.
Oh, man, just absolute, like, children.
Yeah, but deserved by the Dems.
Yeah.
So last comment here. Noel says, what is this woke obsession with invading the bathrooms? What a cringe bunch of weirdos. And hopefully putting on the sex offenders register.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're out of time. So if you want more from us, go to lotusears.com.
Yeah.
Check out all the stuff that I mentioned, the premium stuff and the non-premium stuff. Sign up to get access to the premium stuff and to fund the show, because that's how we keep things running.
Follow me on YouTube. I know there's 3 billion of you out there. So follow me, all of you.
That's your target now.
Yeah.
And please do check out Labour Conference Abridge. Day 4 and day 5 will be tomorrow, which will be much shorter, I promise. But day 4, really, if you're not convinced by now, that quite frankly looks like a prescribed organisation. Anyway, we're out of time. If you want more from us, we'll be here tomorrow, 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.